Hey, this is Matt Hawkins, and you're listening to the Top Cow Chronology Project.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Presents the Top Cow Chronology Project. I'm your host, Jace. I know it's been a little over a week since I put out the last episode. I apologize for that. I had a death in the family, and I had to travel out of state to Missouri. But now I'm back. Also, I'd like to mention that there should be some new episodes coming up on my YouTube channel, Fast and Furiously, very soon. This whole move to Phoenix has really thrown things off. I'm still trying to work out the details and get everything settled so that I can record some video for you guys and get it up on the YouTube channel. Additionally, I want to mention that the Phoenix Comic Con is coming up here at the end of the month, and Jaden and I will both be in attendance. We're hoping to bring you some interviews and some just news of the convention. That convention starts on the night of Thursday, May 28th, and it goes through Sunday, May 31st. So it's a pretty big convention. I've attended it in the past. A lot of cosplay, a lot of celebrities, so it should be a lot of fun. And I should have both some podcast coverage and some coverage on the YouTube channel. So keep your eyes out for that. Okay, in this episode, I'm going to be covering Witchblade Obeikamano. It was published in 2002. The writer is Fiona Kai Avery. Pencils are by Billy Tan. Inks by Crime Lab Studios, Marlo Equeza, Eric Basaldua, Jay Leistein, Danny Mickey, Billy Tan, and colors are by Steve Furchlow, Matt Nelson, Beth Sotelo, and John Starr. So it was a pretty good story. I enjoyed it. I did have a few questions, and maybe I'll talk about that once I've given you a synopsis. It's a pretty long story, as I said, an original graphic novel. It's about 80 pages or so. So the cover's pretty nice. We see a Japanese woman in a kimono. She's kneeling before what looks to be like a dragon head, but at the same time, it looks kind of like a gauntlet. So I was unsure at first what it is. Turns out it's actually the current manifestation of the Witchblade. So let's dive into the story here. The story starts out, and I will admit that it was a little choppy to begin with, but as it went along, the storytelling improved a bit. So let's get into the synopsis of the story. It starts out, we see a woman laying in the jungle or the forest. She seems to be having a bad dream, and there's a flashback. Apparently her husband is being attacked by some warlords. She's being held back by some of these other men, and she says that she'll cut off the head of any man who dares touch her. And she manages to grab the sword of one of the men holding her and chop off his hand. As her dream continues, we see another man wielding a blade, proclaiming his love for her. And she says that she will not allow him to die. However, he is stabbed in the back, falls to the ground. She manages to break free and go to his side. And we see in the foreground the man's sword laying on the ground. And she starts to hear a voice saying, "I am here. I'll take the form of whatever you need. Look at me. Come for me." And as she's cradling her dying husband in her arms, she looks to the blade, and it looks like it's starting to transform into some kind of a serpent dragon, traditional Japanese-looking dragon, and it wraps around her hand. And she says, "I'll strike down every one of you." And then she wakes up from her dream. There's a couple younger women with her saying that she had the dream again. "Shiori Sama, forgive the intrusion. Can we help you?" She says, "No, it's just a dream. You've both been at my side every night since we lost our home. I can't repay you, even with a night of uninterrupted sleep." And so apparently what's happened is she was sort of the queen or the wife of a Japanese lord who ruled over a certain number of lands, and these are her adopted daughters. But apparently some kind of a warlord came and killed her husband and took over the lands, is what we learn here. So they ask what they're going to do, and this former wife of the Lord says that she's had a vision, and that they must travel until they find what she's seen in her vision. So the story continues. They come upon a village. A man is about to cut his daughter's hair because he believes that if she looks more like a man, she'll be safe from this warlord and his men who've taken over the land. Shiora Sama, the wife of the Lord, says, no, you shouldn't chop off her hair. You should teach her to defend herself. And just because you cut her hair, it won't stop Lord Sanutomo's men. So the father asks what he should do, and Shiori Sama says that she will return, and when you see her flag raised high over the mountains, shut yourself in your house and lock the door, because vengeance and death will follow in my wake. And her two adopted daughters say that she's just committed herself to war. She responds that she's just committed herself to justice. That's what matters. Her other adopted daughter says, you alone against Tsunotomo's men. She says, Yuka, the days have blurred into a long parade of tears. How long have we been drifting in exile? 10 days? 10 days of soul-searching? 10 days of asking for the truth to be delivered? Do you know what the truth is like? Truth is a weapon used against a lying coward. So she says she has had 10 days to amass 100 truths, and by the time her quest for the blade is finished, she'll have many more days and many more truths. But the blade from her dreams will help her to win the war. And this exchange is overheard by a chimney sweep, a woman who's cleaning the chimney on a roof of a hut next to where they're standing. And the adopted daughters don't care for the way the chimney sweep is addressing Shiora Sama. But Shiora Sama says that she would actually like someone along with them who can easily tell the truth between truth and lies. And apparently this peasant chimney sweep woman is such a person, and so Shiora Sama asks if she will join them, and she says yes. And we see later that night, as they've made camp, Shiora Sama and her two daughters are sleeping. The chimney sweep is awake, cleaning her sword. She hears a noise in the brush. She says, who's there? Show yourself, and is about to stab the person who's sneaking around, and we see that it's actually the young girl who was going to get her hair cut in the village. She says her name is Ren, and the chimney sweep says, you gave me a heart attack, I oughta. And the young girl replies that she came to serve Shiori Sama. Shiori Sama's been awakened by the noise. The chimney sweep says that she, master assassin hiding in the bushes, and the girl says, please hear me out, I came to serve you. And as Shiora Sama is about to say no, she's too young, she hears a voice in her head saying, come for me, bring the child. So Ren apparently is going to accompany them on this quest as well. And she tells the chimney sweep that it's going to be her job to train Ren, give her the basics so that she'll know how to protect herself. After the soot woman, as Ren calls her, says that she will train Ren, Ren says, I'm not afraid of you, soot woman. The chimney sweep replies, I'm not the one you have to be afraid of. It's Hachiman who will come for you if you fail me. Ren replies, you mean the god of all warriors will come for me if I'm not any good? What would he do exactly if I'm not any good? And the soot woman just walks away. The next morning, we see that Ren is forced to carry all the supplies, and she asks if it's absolutely necessary. The chimney sweep says, you said you wanted to help us out. Carrying all supplies will make you strong. You know, the brave Hachiman, god of all warriors, climbed a mountain just like this, only he was carrying an entire army on his back. They come to a bridge. It looks very precarious and dilapidated. They send the child across first, and she says, what? Why me? And the chimney sweep replies, you're the lightest. Go and see if it will carry you. If it carries you, then one of us will go along. And in fact, she says that if the bridge does collapse, the Tengu demons will support you. And Tengu demons are mountain-dwelling spirits, neither good nor evil, much like the titans of Greek mythology. So as she's heading across, she gets about halfway. We see another woman telling her to stop, hold it. There's a toll for crossing this bridge. She has an arrow aimed at Ren, and she demands payment for Ren to come across. Ren replies she doesn't have any coins, and the woman with the bow and arrow says, then I want the one in charge to come over first. Shiori-sama says, that's me. The woman says, leave the swords. Show me your bag of gold and silver first. Shiori says, this is my entire holding. If you take it, you leave me with nothing. And the woman replies that Shiori should have taught her retainers better manners, and she wouldn't have been insulted, and she wouldn't have taken it all. So Shiori-sama gets almost all the way across. She's holding the bag over the side of the bridge. The woman says, you drop that bag and I'll kill you. And Shiori-sama says, this is just insurance. You try and kill me and the money's going to go over the side. So the woman draws her blade. Shiori-sama lets the sack drop, but actually holds the very top of it, the knot, and uses it as a weapon, swings it around, the weight of the coin smashing into the woman's chin and knocking her out. And then she asks what the actual amount of the toll is as the woman regains consciousness. The woman says 2 silver. And Shiori-sama says, pay the toll dragon 3 silver, a tip for the extra sparring practice. And Ren says, that's what you get for trying to bribe Shiori-sama. We're on a holy quest and we won't be defeated by the likes of you. The woman says, holy quest? That just means you're after treasure. And where is this treasure? Perhaps I'll follow you. And Ren replies, you'll never be worthy of what we're after. You might as well sit here and rot. Then the chimney sweep says, you see, Ren-chan, just as the Tengu demons were looking out for you, as I said. And as they head off, we see that the woman with the bow and arrow is indeed following them. And in the middle of the night, Shiori-sama hears a noise. She gets up. She walks off into the distance and she sees a great dragon. She says, who do you serve? Oh, Hachiman, of course. Then we see Hachiman make his appearance. Shiori-sama says, Celestial Lord of Battle, I am your humble servant in war. And he says, come forth, Shiori, wife to Lord Nabshij. You want this? And he holds aloft the witchblade. Shiori-sama replies, yes, it calls to me. He says, are you prepared to fight for it? She says that she would not dream of fighting the god of war. He said, it isn't by fighting me that you'll earn this blade. I merely ask if you're prepared to fight for it. Shiori-sama replies, yes, my lord, I'm prepared to die for it. He asks her why, and she says she wants vengeance. And he asks, after vengeance, what will you do? She replies, she doesn't know. Then Hachiman says, you hadn't thought about living after obtaining your vengeance. He says, you'll have to fight for an answer because the sword serves for more than your husband's memory. And Shiori replies that she fears this blade, but she still must have it. The blade starts wrapping around her hands, consuming her, threatening to devour her. And again, Hachiman asks her, but when you're finished destroying those who caused you pain, what will you have left? Are you truly the one, or are you only here for revenge, is what the witchblade asks her. She screams no, and awakens. We see that Ren is still there, and we learn that the chimney sweeps woman's name is Miki, or Miki-san, and she's been training the girl. Shiori-sama asks to see. They battle. And Ren is actually successful in causing Miki to become unarmed. Knocks the sword from her hand. Then she shows them how she'll scout the terrain as well. And also shows how she has learned to defend herself. And Miki-san says, see, I told you I taught her the basics. She's ready for war. And we see a figure off panel say, so am I. And it turns out it is the woman from the bridge. She says, I come in peace. Shiori-sama asks, what do you want, Ronin? The woman says, I acted unconscionably the other day. She comes to offer her apologies. And the adopted daughters of Shiori-sama say, what is this thief doing here? I'll take care of her. The Ronin replies, no, I came to pay respects. I was wrong. I want to join your mission. Shiori-sama says, you just want money. The Ronin says, you want revenge for your husband's death. Neither of us have good intentions. And Miki-san replies, there's no promise of money where we're going, just lots of Tengu demons. The Ronin replies, I can decide for myself if it's worthwhile once we get there. And then says to Shiori-sama, you're after the sword, aren't you? These remote mountains hold kingdoms worth of treasure. If it's a special sword you're looking for, it's going to be on a pile of coins a mile high. I want some. Shiori-sama says, you could be here to steal our valuables and leave us stranded. I can't take that chance. The Ronin says, I'll follow you. You can't keep me from what you find. Mickey-san says, go on and follow us, thug. When we're finished with the sword in its caverns, you can scavenge the leftovers. And she says, I know where the sword is. I know what you're going after. There are traps and pitfalls at every turn of those caverns. You need a good hunter and thief to disarm them. So finally, Shiori-sama relents, says, Haruka. Apparently that's the Ronin's name. If you know these traps, why haven't you cleaned the place out? And she says, because she can't best the guardians inside. First the sword, then the loot. They won't let you have the treasure unless you can beat them. Ren says, things to fight, yes. So Shiori-sama relents. She says, you can travel with us. You get us past the traps and I'll win the sword and you can have your share of the treasure just like the rest of her party. But if you're lying, they'll take their sword practice from her. So they continue up the mountain. They find a house at the top. Shiori-sama says, a mountain hermit, we shouldn't disturb them. Shouldn't disturb him, actually. And a voice off panel says, you mean her? And Shiori-sama says, a mountain priestess. We see it's a woman in yellow robes. And she says, it's good to meet you, Shiori. Shiori replies, you know my name? Yes, just as I know your quest here on the mountain. And Ren says, I hope that we didn't disturb your meditation. She says, no, Ren, I was waiting for you. Come stay with me tonight. I'll meet you at my home. You'll need rest among other things if you are to cross the dragon stream and defeat the caverns. Shiori-sama says, the dragon stream, I dreamt about that. Thinking back to her dream with the dragon and Hachiman. So they go to her house to rest and they remove their shoes before the mountain priestess comes in. They eat dinner. They're given new weapons. The mountain priestess says, blades are my specialty. Men said there's no place in the world for a woman who crafts swords. So she left the secular world for one of quiet hermitage. No one chastises her for making swords, but her only regret is that there's no one to share her work with. So they all get new swords, fine weapons. And before Ren can grab a sword, she says, oh, I almost forgot. This was my very first sword, one I made with my own hands. I believe it will do well for you. Ren says, you want me to have an old sword? And Shiori-sama says, Ren, manners, say thank you. Ren says, thank you. And the mountain priestess says, you're quite welcome. And Shiori-sama says, Natsuka, the mountain priestess's name. Again, I thank you. You're too kind, though I don't understand exactly why you do this for me. The priestess replies, the Kami will try and stop you from obtaining the blade. They've been guarding it for thousands of years. They'll not be defeated easily. Shiori-sama says, fighting the Kami will be my final test. I'm not afraid to die for the blade. It's a noble death. The priestess replies, yes, but that's not the question. You were asked if you were afraid to live for the blade. Shiori-sama replies, you know about that. And the priestess says, you never answered the Hachiman's question. What will you do if you live? She says, I'm not sure. And the mountain priestess says, that's not an answer, but Shiori-sama says, I know, but it's the only one I have. Meanwhile, Mickey-san is off out of the house, overlooking the cliffs at the edge of the mountain. The priestess approaches her and asks if she's anxious about tomorrow. Mickey replies, yes, I am. The priestess asks her what she'll do. And Mickey-san says, I'll fight, that's what I've always done. The priestess says that she's taught Ren very well. Will you dishonor her memory tomorrow? And Mickey-san replies, I don't know what you mean. I'll be brave and fight to my dying breath. And the mountain priestess says, then there's nothing to fear. Go to sleep. So the next day, they head into the caverns. It's Shiori-sama, Ren, Mickey-san, Hakura, and Shiori-sama's two adopted daughters. And before they enter the cavern, Hakura springs one trap, and they decide to leave Ren behind as kind of a guard at the gate. So Ren sits there, upset and pouting that she has to stay behind. She says she's looking busy but feeling stupid. She's trying to clean her blade. She says, this dirty old blade, clean already. And we see behind her that a stone Kami is rising from the ground of the mountain. And Ren is frustrated not being able to clean off a mark on the blade. She says, "Forget it. You're an ugly sword and you'll always be an ugly sword." And then realizes that there is a mountain Kami, stone Kami behind her and says, "Uh-oh." Leaps out of the way. And the other party hears the noise. They say, "What was that?" Mickey cries out, "Ren," and turns to run for the entrance. Hakura says, "No, don't move," but it's too late. Mickey's sprung a trap. They fall through the floor of the cavern they're in. And there we see a lake. And in the middle of the lake is a pile of bones, skeletons, and propped up on those is the Witchblade, which has taken the appearance of a dragon's head. And one of the daughters asks Shiori-sama if she's all right. She replies that she knows this place. She remembers it from her dream. And she tells Aya-chan and Yuka-chan, her adopted daughters, "Look out behind you," as a multi-headed dragon comes up out of the water. They tell Shiori-sama that they'll hold it back so she can get the blade. Meanwhile, Ren says, "You may be big and strong, and I'm not, but I'll show you a thing or two." She's about to fight the stone Kami, and as she's about to swing the blade, we see the mark on it starts to glow red, and she swings with all her might, and the stone Kami is destroyed, broken up into many, many pieces. Meanwhile, the two twins, the two adopted daughters, are fighting the dragon as Shiori-sama goes for the blade. And we see a water Kami rise up from the lake. Mickey-san says that she'll take care of it. "Come on, fight me. You fight like a woman, you bucket of innards." While Shiori-sama continues to approach the Witchblade, and as Aya-chan and Yuka-chan, along with Hakura, are engaged in battle with the dragon, they appear to have defeated it, and Shiori-sama has appeared to reach the Witchblade. The next page, we see that Ren has indeed defeated the stone Kami. She has a black eye, and she's feeling a little dizzy, but she has indeed been victorious. And then Hachi-chan appears to her and says, "You should feel good, you won." And she says, "Hachiman, god of war, patron of warriors, what are you doing here?" Hachiman says, "You're wounded," and tells her to sleep, kisses her on the forehead so that she'll sleep and her wounds will heal, and then says, "Remember whose sword won you the battle today." Meanwhile, inside the cave, Mickey-san has defeated the water Kami. And just as Shiori-sama is about to reach the Witchblade, Mickey-san says, "I'm so sorry," and raises her blade to the back of Shiori-sama. And we see, "Mickey, you will not destroy the chosen of the Tengu," and the mountain priestess shows. Just as Shiori-sama turns and sees Mickey-san with her blade raised and says, "Traitor." Then we see one of the adopted daughters say that Natsuki is a Tengu demon, so it turns out that the mountain priestess is actually a Tengu demon. And Shiori-sama says, "Of course, the Tengu serve those who successfully challenge the mountains." The mountain priestess says, "Mickey, how could you?" Shiori-sama says, "I trusted you." And Mickey-san said, "I had no choice. Lord Tsunetomo made me. He said if I didn't kill Shiori and get the blade, that he would kill my sister." So Shiori-sama dons the blade, and the blade asks her, "Are you worthy despite your rage?" And Shiori-sama replies, "I can become worthy of you if you'll believe in me." Meanwhile, Natsuka, the mistress of the mountain, is pretty much kicking the butt of Mickey-san, saying there are no excuses for betrayal, there's only death. And then tells Shiori-sama that she betrayed you, there must be a penalty for that. And Mickey replies, "For the love of my younger sister, I have failed you, Shiori-sama." Shiori-sama replies, "Yes, you have, but I'll not fail you." Mickey replies, "I chose not to betray my sister, and that meant someone else had to be betrayed. My only choices were bad choices, and I failed at both, so make my death quick." Shiori-sama says, "No." And Natsuka says, "What? If you won't kill her, I will." And Shiori-sama says, "You don't think I'm angry and hurt by this betrayal? But Hachiman said I had to fight for this blade, and I now know what he meant. I don't just have to fight battles or betrayals. I have to fight my own emotions. Revenge cannot consume me. I must be better than my anger. and I will lead past it to victory. We've all been betrayed by Lord Tsutomu. He's a pretender to the throne. He rules by deceit. He betrayed my lord and he betrayed me. And he is the one who has betrayed you. Even if you'd done as he'd asked, Mickey, he never would have spared your sister. Mickey said, yes, I feared as much, but I had to risk it. There's nothing that can oppose him. Shiori Sama replies, you're wrong. I can oppose him. I forgive you. And Mickey-san pledges her life to Shiori Sama for her mercy. And we see that she's actually now clothed in the armor of the Witchblade. But unlike the modern-day Witchblade that we see, where it's usually silver or grayish, we see that this dragon-looking Witchblade is actually gold, and it very much resembles dragon-like scales. So once again, each member of Shiori Sama's party pledges loyalty to her again, and then they think, oh, Ren, we must find her, make sure she's okay. They leave the cave, Shiori Sama, fully the Witchblade now, and they see that Ren is unconscious. Mickey says, Ren, wake up, wake up. And Shiori Sama says, there must have been a rock slide. But the mountain priestess Natsuka says, no, it was a stone kami. This is a ceremonial rope that's wrapped around the stone. The stone is gone now. It must have awakened and attacked Ren. And then Ren wakes and says, oh, shoot, I thought you were still Hachiman for a moment. And come to find out, the mark on the blade that Ren had is actually a handprint from Hachiman, and that's why it wouldn't wash off. So the rest of the party is very proud of Ren for having defeated the stone kami on her own, and the party heads back to the very first village, the lands that Shiori Sama's husband ruled over, to depose Lord Tsunetomo. So they approach. They come across Ren's father, who believed that Ren was dead. He sees that she's actually alive, and he also pledges his loyalty to Shiori Sama. Says, what can I do for you? She tells him to gather all those that would fight for their freedom, for they will attack Lord Tsunetomo's army that very day. They do indeed attack, along with many villagers, as the villagers and other men are keeping the forces of Lord Tsunetomo busy. We see that Shiori Sama confronts Lord Tsunetomo herself, and as she walks into the dojo, Lord Tsunetomo says, no blade, no helpers to take me down, where's your army? And she says, you misunderstand, I am the army. So we see that the Witchblade manifests an actual blade, and the battle is joined with Lord Tsunetomo and Shiori Sama fighting. Then the scene switches to Mickey-san, who is infiltrating the dungeons of this castle keep, and she slays those who had imprisoned her sister and is reunited with her sister. Meanwhile, after a lengthy battle, Shiori Sama manages to defeat Lord Tsunetomo, who asks to be killed quickly. Shiori Sama refuses. She says, no. No, I'll leave you for those others whose husbands you've killed. I wash my hands of you because I've learned the value of mercy, but they haven't. And in the final scene on that page, we see many women, some of them wielding rakes and hoes, basically beat Lord Tsunetomo to death. And then an old woman approaches Shiori Sama and says, Tsunetomo is dead. We are avenged. You are avenged. Lord Nabashugu, your husband can rest in peace. It's over. And Shiori Sama says, no, it isn't. It's just the beginning, and today we start building it again together for my husband, for you, the end. And then the next page, we see the bandit, the samurai, the tea master, and aesthetics by Fiona Kai Avery, and illustrations by Peter Steigerwald. And what this is, it's another story starring Shiori Sama. Seems to take place probably a little while after the end of the story we just saw, but it's mostly a text piece. There are some illustrations, but they're extremely rough. They almost look like maybe some charcoal drawings. And it's the story of a tea master who had just passed through the lands of Shiori Sama And as he's traveling along the road, he's accosted by a bandit, and the bandit demands all his gold. The team master is old and doesn't wish to be dishonored by being robbed, and says that he rather would have an honorable death. He asks the bandit to give him a day to go and learn how to fight, so that even though he knows he'll lose, at least he can die with a blade in his hand. The bandit is very amused by this and agrees. And that's all I'll say about the story. It's a very good story, very entertaining. I think I probably enjoyed it more than the first story, the illustrated story, just because I felt it was a little more traditional Japanese rather than the first story, which I felt had more of a modern twist on old Japanese folk tales. So it was certainly very entertaining, written by the same author, and certainly worth reading. I didn't expect it. I didn't know about there being the second story in the book, but it was really cool. And then the last part of the book, there's a few pinups. There's one of Shiori-sama by Billy Tan that is really cool. There's another watercolor piece by Billy Tan of Ren having her hair done, which is also pretty cool. So overall, I enjoyed this graphic novel. It was fairly lengthy, and I feel like the action sequences are really where Billy Tan's storytelling from panel to panel was the best. Some of the quieter moments, especially in the beginning of the book, I felt the storytelling from panel to panel was a bit choppy. There were times I had to go back and kind of reread to understand what was going on. Pretty much a layout issue, I would say. Not the best layouts. Now, Billy Tan most recently has been working on the Green Lantern title over at DC Comics, and I certainly can't fault his storytelling there, but of course this was much more early on in Billy Tan's career, so I can forgive a little bit of the choppy storytelling, knowing that that's just a product of him being less experienced. The colors themselves in the story are very well done. It's very bright story for the most part, and there are times when it does get a little darker and the colors do shift a little to kind of set that mood. As far as the actual art itself, in rendering, a great job by Billy Tan. I've come to really enjoy his pencil work and his line work. The facial expressions are very good. The action sequences, as I said, also very good. The page layouts are also fairly dynamic, yet I would say it's not necessarily give Billy Tan credit for that. They do kind of look like typical Top Cow page layouts from the late 90s, early 2000s, so I'm sure he had some input as far as that goes coming up in their studio. But that being said, who's ever responsible for the page layouts, they're extremely well done. And really, I think, as I said, the strength of Billy Tan's art is in the facial expressions and the line work. Very well done. Decent backgrounds, and the action sequences are easy to follow. So I very much enjoyed the story. As I said, in the beginning, if I had any complaint, it would just be the little bit of choppiness as far as the story, kind of hard to tell what's going on in some of the panels, say for the first like 4 or 5 pages. The story itself, as I said, it was enjoyable. One thing that did take me out of the story a little bit, one thing I kind of wondered about, was this being ancient Japan, women in that culture were very subservient. So while enjoyable story, don't know how realistic, and you know, I say that tongue in cheek because, you know, it's a comic book and we're dealing with mountain spirits and, you know, the Witchblade itself. It's not really things that could exist, but even beyond that, it just seemed, I don't know, different enough or strange enough or noteworthy enough to me that it was a bunch of women that were the heroes. And it just seems to me that in that culture back then, I don't know how reasonable that would have been. Seems to me that they wouldn't necessarily have been taken seriously. Don't know how good they would have been at actually fighting. They appear to be, you know, extremely competent. They get in the final battle against Tsunetomo's men, and they're victorious, all these women. So I don't know if it was strength in numbers or what, but as I said, it just seemed a little far-fetched to me. It seemed to, I don't know, it just was noteworthy enough for me. I noticed it. It took me out of the story a little bit. Now, I do know that there were some female samurai widows and such, daughters, other rebels who answered the call of duty and had some training. So I guess these women could have been somewhere along in that line. And it wasn't a big enough deal in the story that it kept me from enjoying it. But it made me wonder, and especially nowadays with kind of the trend to have more prominent roles for females in comics, I certainly didn't mind reading a comic like this. In fact, I think it would be very appropriate if Top Cow were to re-release this today, being that there's such a call for diversity of gender and strong female heroes. So, all in all, a pretty good story. Definitely when compared to a lot of the other early Witchblade stories we've read, I'd say this one is more of a complete story. Of course, it's much longer, so it has that advantage going for it as far as being able to tell a story from start to finish. So, certainly interesting, certainly leaves the door open for more stories of Shiori Sama besides just these two we get in this book. So I certainly recommend picking it up. You can find it at in-stock trades for $5.77 plus shipping, or I'm looking on eBay right now. There's one for $3.55 free shipping, one for $4.50, another one for $5.19, another one for $3.89 free shipping. So it's a pretty easy graphic novel to find, and as I said, I certainly enjoyed it, and I would recommend you reading it. So once again, I want to thank everyone for joining me on the Comic Source Presents the Top Cow Chronology Project. Remember, if you want to follow along with the chronology, you can go to our website at thecomicsourceblog.com, click on the Top Cow Chronology link, and go to that page. You'll see off to the right there's a Comic Vine logo. If you click on that logo, that'll take you directly to Condor. That's K-O-N-D-O-R-R. It'll take you directly to his Top Cow Chronology on the Comic Vine website. While you're at our website, you can check out videos from my YouTube channel. You can see Manny's blog. The sketch gallery's there. We'll have a convention page up real soon. Also, you can like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. It's twitter.com/thecomicsource. Also, if you want to send us an email, our email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can send us a message through the webpage in a couple of ways. You can use the Contact Us link, or you can just comment on the episode thread itself directly. As I mentioned, Jaden and I will be attending the Phoenix Comic-Con coming up at the end of the month, and we'll also be launching a second podcast. The second podcast will update a little less frequently than this one. This Top Cow Chronology Project podcast is going to be going back to 3 times a week very soon. I have a lot of the episodes edited and ready to go, so it's just a matter of releasing them. It'll be a lot less work for me once I get it all scheduled and up and running. But Jaden and I are going to do another more general comic podcast that's going to be released once a week. Most likely we'll record on Sunday nights, and then either release that Sunday night that we actually record it, or early Monday morning. And we'll probably just call it The Comic Source. It's going to just cover, as I said, more general comic news and happenings. And that a lot of that news will be about actual comics itself from me. And then over on the multimedia side, the movies, the TV shows and such will be covered by Jaden. So look for that coming up real soon. We thank you for your support. If you like what we're doing here, be sure and tell a friend. Have them give it a listen. Talk about us at your local comic shop. And be sure and drop us a line and let us know how we're doing. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll talk to you next time.